And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We're planning on having a great day. The gang is all here. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason here at Hermitage Golf Course. Ladarius Robinson is our on-site engineer. And gentlemen, it looks like a great day to have fun and raise some money for a great cause. And that's what we're going to try to do today.
It's a beautiful day, man. Goodness. The humidity is down. A light breeze.
It feels like spring.
Yes, man.
I thought we lost spring for good.
It feels awesome.
This is great.
You can't ask for a perfect day. Only thing we need is, you know, a pool.
Oh, no, because I wouldn't be on the air. Because I can't – I'm not going to jump in the pool with equipment, but I'm going to be in the pool.
You would be tempted.
Let me get up
second
on the raft and then see if it'll make it.
We can have a couple of floaties.
Because I love the pool. The pool's my jam.
Or they should have just built us a stage over the pool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. But we're going to have fun today. We're going to golf, right?
Yes.
So, Willie, you brought up something to our attention before the show, and I'm glad we were unable to bet on this.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of betting sites that we refer to on the show, and I'm glad we weren't able to have odds and gamble on this because I would have lost for sure. So something was left behind. We were not. Yeah. We were just out here not too long ago for Stars.
We were, and we were under the beautiful pavilion they have, but Hermitage Golf Course, just first class,
yep,
all the way. Just love it. It's been a long time since I played this course, so
yep,
I'm a little concerned about my game.
Does that matter,
played,
though, that
you played really,
it?
Really.
He said he's
not
concerned
really
about his game. No matter what course we're at.
I haven't played this course. Oh, as opposed to all the other courses
yeah
that you play?
You know,
I play once every 3 years. I haven't played here in a while, so.
I last played in September at the Brett Peterson
right, exactly,
Invitational.
The last know time I played.
Predators
yes
Foundation. But the last time we were here, you know, Aaron runs the Stars, and so afterwards, you know, Derek's on the board of Stars. He played with his group, made it through the day.
Mm-hmm.
We had
even
took the pictures.
The rain delay.
We had some fun, and then afterwards, they found you know, a cover for a driver,
mm-hmm,
and it has the initials DM on it. And Aaron was like, "I couldn't find the owner of this. Is it Derek Mason? Could you maybe bring this to Derek and find out if this is his?" And I said, sure, I'll bring it out. And I'm thinking to myself, now Derek's told the story.
Uh-huh.
You know, Chris Sanders
yes
just buried D-Mace on the uh-huh air, exposed
absolutely
him as a beginner at golf. He said they went out and played golf for the first time, and Derek wore his wide receiver gloves, both of them, on the course. So I'm like, I'm thinking of that story. I'm like, is Derek the kind of guy that's going to have a personalized cover for his driver? And I'm thinking, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's DM. How
yeah
many DMs oh are
yeah
there?
Darren McFarlane.
It's got, yeah, but it's
Darren
got a fancy,
yeah,
like, logo.
Yeah, it's fancy. It's
stuff
got, yeah, it's got
fancy,
like, a, it looks like a family crest or something,
yeah,
going
yeah
back,
I mean,
like,
it's
generations or something.
The Mason crest.
Yeah.
So Philly walks right up to me and is like, what do you think? Do you think this
yeah
is D-Mace's? I was like, heck yes, that's his. 100%. You walk up and you're like, heck no, that's not mine.
I don't play enough golf to have a signature golf cover.
Yeah, but I told Willie, and because Willie brought, he's like, yeah, but he doesn't play. I was like, but that doesn't stop D-Mace from trying to look the part.
Only way I would have something like that if someone gave it to me,
okay,
or bought it for me as a gift. That's
all
the
right
only reason.
That
I
was
am not
I was
going out of
fair
my
enough
way. I am not going out of my way to buy that or to special order that. For what? For a guy that plays golf maybe twice a year?
That's, I mean, we're in the same thing.
Yeah.
Sean Fort from our staff came up and he's like, did you hit today before the show? And I'm like,
hit before the show. Now, another thing, like, would that really
coffee
help?
Coffee?
Yeah.
Hit what? The refrigerator? Hit a muffin? What?
Yeah.
Hit a golf ball before the show. That's a good one. No.
We don't do that.
That's a no. I was like, you know when I'll be hitting the golf ball? At 1.
Listen.
When we start.
A cheater don't get up and stretch, it just runs.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's what right we do. We just play.
Gore, I don't run anymore, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I usually figure I've got maybe 6 to 8, maybe on a good day, 10 to 12 shots.
Yeah.
Why waste them on the,
right,
on the driving range?
No.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, at some point, they're going to come out, hopefully.
You save that. You yeah reserve that.
So now the question is, who is the DM?
Darren McFarland.
It's not mine, no.
Who is the DM?
I'm in the same boat as you. There's no way I'm buying personalized head covers. Like, it's got to be given to me, man. I just don't.
It's kind of worn out, too.
It looks like it's been through the – you know, it's well made, but it looks like
it almost looks like a boxing glove.
Yeah,
no, an oven mitt.
An oven mitt. You see,
yes.
You know what? Maybe I'll take it home.
Baseball players use that on the base pass now.
They do
to keep from their fingers getting caught on the bases and stuff. That's what they put on when they slide.
Snap. So I can use this as a what would you call it? An arm base running cover.
Yeah. They call it an oven mitt in baseball. It's the lingo. You keep it in your back pocket. You slide it on when you make it.
Is
to
it
first.
Hot?
Probably so.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's better than breaking your finger on second base.
No, I would wear these, especially like at the end of the year when baseball's going, I would wear these just because.
It's multi-purpose.
Yeah.
It's a golf head cover, but it's also can be used for other things.
Yeah.
So if you're the DM that was at the Stars golf tournament.
Please.
That was back in what? Early April? Late March?
About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. It was in April. Out here at Hermitage. We have it.
Yeah. It's yours because it says DM. It has a crest on it. So whoever,
it's blue and white.
Donovan Mitchell.
Don Mattingly.
Don Mattingly.
That's a good one. Was Don out here? Yeah.
Who else?
The other Derek Mason.
The other Derek Mason.
Yeah, the other Derek Mason.
Coach Derek Mason.
He could have been here.
Yep.
Donald Mitchell.
Donovan
Mitchell.
Yeah, he could have been
pretty good
in Nashville.
He was a good DB.
Yeah. Who else? I mean...
Donovan
Nikhil
McNabb.
Mutombo. He could have been out here.
Oh! Sure. Now that would be a sight to see.
I kind of feel like we would remember that. I mean, I'm just saying.
Somebody would have said something.
Would have said something. Yep.
Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have discovered that is not either one of ours. It's
Spartans.
Is this like real leather or
Go
pleather?
Green. I don't know what that is.
It's made in good old USA.
Made in the USA. Well, it's faux leather.
You think it's faux?
Yeah. Faux.
Well, there you go.
Faux, however they pronounce it. I think it's faux leather.
We'll have Teron Davenport at 11 o'clock. So, rookie mini camps.
Yes.
Taking place. Mm-hmm. Traylon Burks was there, was not there, then was there, not there.
Hey, see, what? This is what... these rookies, man, they don't know what they're getting into.
Until they get into it.
You don't know what you don't know. And I know a lot of people probably looked at it and said, he wasn't working out and this and that. No, he was working out. But you can't, no matter what you're doing, because what people don't realize is that these rookies, from the time they get out of college to they get drafted, they are working on drills, specific drills, the 40-yard dash, the shuttle, they are broad jump. They are working on things that they're going to get tested in. They're not necessarily working out to perform, 2 hours a day on a practice field, getting pushed, pulled, long passes. They're not doing that. So when these guys come in, it's not that they're out of shape. Their bodies just are not ready, especially this weekend. It was hot. Last week it was hot, and these young men come in and they're not used to that heat, man, and it takes them out very quickly. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're always out of shape. It's just they're just not ready for the heat just yet.
Yeah, we got a lot of things to get in with TD at 11 o'clock because, it seemed pretty clear that Mike Vrabel was trying to calm down all the Ryan Tannehill stuff, right, which, you expect him to do that. The other part is not really coming forward. Why isn't he? And this is the part that, it's going to be a real eye-opener. And, look, we can. I brought this up because I want us to talk about it on the other side because I know it's not – it's fair, unfair. That doesn't matter, at what you think it is. He's already been labeled, and you can't get out from underneath it, right? He is A.J. Brown's replacement. Is that fair to him? Well, again, it doesn't matter whether it's fair or unfair. Did he ask the team to trade for him? No, he did not. Did he ask the team to trade A.J. Brown? No. Did he ask the team to trade up to get him? No. But that happened, okay? And so now, whether you think it's fair or unfair, now there's going to be so much expectations on him that, you know, is just going to be real no matter what. And no matter if the Titans try to squash it or change the narrative, you're not going to be able to change it with the fans. It's just this is what people are going to expect. So let's talk about that. And how does he manage that through the course of the season? Because, as you know, being a rookie is hard enough in the NFL. I mean, this is going to be a real eye-opener. Yes, he played in the SEC, and that's a good breeding ground to get you prepared for the next level, but it's not the next level. So how is he going to handle all the stuff? And, oh, by the way, again, he gets lumped into the – every time he's not there, people are like, oh, great, what is this? Is this A.J. Brown? Does this guy have trouble staying on the field? Again, not his problem, but that's what he's going to get. He's going to go right down the same path as A.J. Brown. Every time A.J. Brown – oh, great, did they just – his replacement, he's going to be missing – to all the time. So how does he handle, how does Burks handle all that? We'll discuss it on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game, we're here at Hermitage Golf Course. We're excited to be here. What a beautiful day. Beautiful day to play golf, raise money for a great cause. And we're excited to be here. We're looking forward to teeing off a little bit later today. The suit will take over a little bit later as we hit the links. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We could use an AC unit out here today. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Nate asked the question, how big of a deal is the change of physical location allergy-wise? We know it's different in Tennessee. It's huge. I mean, it is huge. I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I lived in Cleveland, Ohio before coming here. And when I first moved here, I've been here almost 25 years. And when I first moved here, within the first four-month window, I eventually went to the doctor because I thought I was dying. And I didn't know what was going on. I was like, okay, am I dying? Do I need to get I should probably get a life insurance policy, right? Like, I'm about to die. And they're like, no, you've got allergies. And I was like, what? I never dealt with it in my life till I moved here. And it was brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so then you learn about all this stuff, and now that you've gone through it. But it is a big change.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it affects everybody. Even people who have been here. Like, forget coming here for the first time and living. But even people every year, it affects us. I mean, it was how Gil was dealing with it. You could tell on the broadcast. You were dealing with it. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with it. Willie's dealt with it. We've all dealt with it. And it's just in this area, this dust bowl that we live in called Nashville.
Yeah.
It's something. I mean, where I was yesterday, which was in Mount Juliet, at Mount Juliet League Park, bloated. There was those. What are those white things?
I don't know.
Floated around everywhere all day. I don't know, you know, from the I don't know what
they
those
come
are
out,
called.
The little flower.
That little
thing,
flower, yes, yeah. And they were blowing around everywhere, which, you know, probably isn't good for your allergies.
Oh, no.
Would be my guess. So, to answer your question, it's a big deal. And it's something, but, you know, they got
doctors.
They got people there
they
on
got
staff
the best,
that can help. Yes.
The best doctors you can buy.
They've got a better situation than us when we have to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. So they don't, you know, they deal with allergies, they get it straightened out very quickly.
So how do you think Burks is going to handle? Because that's the other part of this. Like, there's no manual. They don't give you – they give you playbooks, but they don't think they give you a manual on how to handle being a professional athlete now and what comes with it. Life in the NFL, you are under a microscope, especially if you're a first-round pick, especially if you're walking into a situation like he's walking into where he's replacing the number one receiver. And I know they got Robert Woods, and – if Robert Woods is healthy, I suspect they want Robert Woods to be their number one and Treylon Burks to be their number two as a rookie. But he may not have that luxury. There's going to be expectations, and I don't think he's going to get around it.
Well, he's not. But he's going to have to lean heavy on Rob Moore, the wide receiver's coach. Rob's been through this. He understands it. He's probably coached other rookies. I'm sure he's coached other first-round rookies that have come in with the expectations and seeming like the weight is on their shoulders to come out and prove that they were worthy of that number one pick. You know, so then he's going to have to lean on, you know, other veterans in that wide receiver room. So I think he'll be okay. I trust that Mike Vrabel won't put any more pressure on him that needs to be put on him. You know, nothing needs to be said. He was the Tennessee Titans' first pick. That comes along with pressure in itself. And then you get drafted and you think you know, you're going to have an opportunity, you know, to play behind or with A.J. Brown. And then they trade away A.J. Brown. So that's another added, you know, dimension to it. But they can't and they should not try to make it seem like Treylon Burks is A.J. Brown's replacement. Yes, he got drafted number one. I mean, in the first round, it was just happenstance that he got drafted and they traded away A.J. Brown. He wasn't brought in. He wasn't drafted, I don't think, initially, because I think they would have drafted a receiver anyway. I don't think he was drafted necessarily to be a replacement for A.J. Brown. It was to be a compliment to A.J. Brown.
But you would admit that's going to be a hard label to shake.
I tried to make that argument
about Corey Davis as the fifth pick when it was obvious early on that he was not going to be a superstar. But he could never shake that label, right? Everybody was still going to be, hey, he's the fifth pick. Why isn't he doing better? Uh-huh. So I think that's going to be something that they're going to have to handle very carefully with Treylon Burks. I have to believe there had to be a little bit of eyebrow raising, like, whoa, that happened on the first date? But I guess you'd rather have that happen now, because now hopefully it's a wake-up call for him and they've got to go back and say, all right, here's how it is. You got to make an adjustment. Because there's no way around it. They need production from him, whether he's all pro or whatever. They've got to have something from him if they're going to be any good, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to get more than maybe what they thought they were going to get. You know, because when a rookie comes in, there's a level of expectation. Unless you like the number one pick at a position that you need dire, they expect you to come in and be that person. In a Titans situation, because there are a run first team, and I think they're going to utilize the tight end heavily this year, I don't think their thought was, we're going to draft him, he has to immediately come in and be the number one guy. I think what they're going to do is they're going to ease him in, and that's the best way to do it. Figure out what he knows, put him at one position, whether it's the X or the Z, put him at that one position, and allow him to learn that one position first. And then sort of sprinkle things here and there, whether it's playing a slot or playing the X receiver. You can't just say, hey, listen, I'm going to throw all this at you. You learn all three positions and roll with it. Some guys falter under situations like that. So he needs to learn one position first and sort of sprinkle in everything else. But listen, Mike's been at this, you know, years. He spent probably half his life playing football. So he understands what this young man needs in order to not – go in with sort of this weight on the shoulder type of feeling.
You guys agree, right? Woods, they want to be the number one.
Yeah, sure they do, but how do they know
if they? I think they would love for Treylon to be the number one.
Really?
I think
as a rookie,
in a perfect world.
In a perfect world, they would want him to be the number one.
But there is. Your hope, and then you have to be thinking, okay, let's be realistic. What if you have to be prepared for a lot of different things to happen? Mm-hmm. What if Woods isn't ready physically at the beginning of the year? That's a very realistic possibility. Mm-hmm. We don't know. What if Burks isn't ready to shoulder everything you got to shoulder to be a
number one?
Well,
he's going to have to grow up fast.
Yeah. There's a lot that has to fall into place. That's a major concern for me.
They didn't draft him once everything was settled and they had already traded away A.J. They didn't draft Treylon Burks to remain the number two. They drafted Treylon Burks to be their number one guy. Only he can speed that process up. Meaning, if he gets in there and he learns the playbook and he makes plays, he's going to be their number one. If he shows that he can make plays, he's going to be their number one. I don't think they truly know what they're going to get out of Robert Woods because of the knee injury. So you don't know if you're going to get the Robert Woods of old or get the Robert Woods that is sort of working its way back into or working its way back through the injury. So, but listen.
But there's not
Nick
much
Westbrook
else.
Akina might end up being the number one or two for a time being.
Ugh.
That's another guy that needs to grow up.
No. I'm a big fan of his, but he's not a number one. He's not a number
say
one.
Say that. But I truly believe. I'm not saying this guy is just a bona fide number one. It's just gonna pair it up. I do believe this is his third season now. They're making a decision with him. Also, either this guy can elevate himself into a two, or you know, because he's already a three.
Yeah, I would be thrilled.
They want to see if he can. They want to see if
he's a real two.
He can really put in the work to be a number two, because again, you don't know what you're getting in Robert Woods. You just don't because of the
problem.
Niche. And it's only a 1 year deal. So Westbrook Akina has to step up this year.
He does.
He has to.
In some form or fashion.
Exactly.
They need a really good year from him.
He has to prove that he can be a number two. He has to prove that.
And I would go a step further. I think they need somebody like Racy McMath or Dez Fitzpatrick to make a big jump and be a contributor somewhere in there. Or they're just going to have to go find a veteran off the street and get –
well, they'll be able to do that once cuts start to be made.
Maybe.
They'll find a veteran guy. But, you know, there's nothing like the guys that are already on your roster that you know that knows the offense. And if they can prove that they've taken another step, like, again, Nick Westbrook Akina, this is your third year. This is the either you prove it year or you're going to be somewhere else. That's just the nature of the game.
But that had to be a little bit of a reality check for everybody on Friday, where it's like you have this vision in your mind, man, Treylon Burks, he's going to come in here, he's going to be the man. Uh-huh. And then, wait a minute, maybe we need to just pump the brakes a little bit and give this guy a little time and just understand that week one, he may not be ready to jump in there and be Mr. Everything. And what does that mean for the team?
I would be more surprised if he was than wasn't.
Yeah.
Because it's just realistic. It's just not common. I mean, some pull it off, but it's usually the ones that are really special. And we don't know. And maybe he is. I don't know. I mean, Derek, you liked him enough to predict that's who the Titans are going to take. So clearly you think highly of him.
Yeah, I do. But how – I just think the way they bring him on will dictate how successful and how much of an impact he will have this year. Especially early on, if they try to throw everything at him, then there might be a problem. But if he shows that he can pick it up and again, that he can make plays in practice and in preseason, then, you know, away we go.
Ben on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com says, it is possible for NWI that he could be the leading receiver in yards this year and they still make the playoffs, but I wouldn't bet on it. I just don't see – I think he is a good complimentary receiver and a guy that's worthy of being on your roster, a guy that's worthy of getting production out of. But if he's your leading receiver, I don't know. It just
– unless he's like 1,200, 1,300 yards.
I don't know if the leading receiver on this team is going to have 12.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Who's the last – I mean, that's just not very common with Titans offenses over the years to have 12 and 1,300 yard receivers, or I mean a receiver.
They haven't had, I think they've had one eclipse, 1,100 yards, I think.
Yeah.
No, they haven't. Because I thought it would have, Nate Washington didn't even get 1,100 yards, I don't think. So They've had a few to get
we'll
to 1,000.
We'll have the answer on the other side. I will look this up.
Okay.
All right, let's do that. First, you're going to tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
Yes, first things first. Now, we're out here on the golf course. Today, we're going to be playing. And I know there's probably some of you out there that love to play golf, or maybe it's another sport that you love to stay active with, but you had some joint pain that's cramped your style a little bit. It's hindering your ability to do what you love to do. Well, that's where QC Kinetics wants you to explore what they have to offer. That pain in your back or your knees or your shoulder, it can now be treated with the latest in precision medicine. It's a different form of treatment than maybe you're used to. It's natural biologics, growth factors that can restore and repair damaged tissue. And QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, giving you access right here to this modern-day joint pain solution. Here is the best part. No drugs, no steroids, no downtime, no surgery. You may have heard Emmett Smith talking about QC Kinetics. So check it out for yourself. Take action. Get a free consultation by calling this number at QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. Effective joint pain treatments with natural biologics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Back here on the DDC. Beautiful day here on this Monday. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you live here at Hermitage Golf Course. Beautiful day, beautiful course, raising money for a great cause. Willie, you looked up during the break.
Yep, I have some research for you.
It's not eye-popping.
Well, but it's not, you know, I think people know this, but I think when you hear the numbers, you're like, holy cow. All right, who was the last Titans receiver? We were just talking about the undefined roles, the uncertainty at the Titans wide receiver position this year, and they're completely starting over, pretty much. Don't really know who's going to be in what role. A.J. Brown led the team last year in receiving yards. Of course, circumstances, right? He missed some time. He ended up with 869 yards and led the team. Derek asked the question, who was the last guy to get 1,100 yards in a season receiving? Who was the last Titan to do it?
I can answer that. I can answer that question. It's me. Receiver?
You say you. Do you agree?
Darren? I say me.
You say you.
I was thinking Nate, but I know Nate had 1,000. I know. What was the other wide receiver out of Baylor? Kendall Wright. He had 1,000.
No. Yeah, but he didn't get to 1,100, I don't think. I think it was just past 1,000.
AJ had 1,000.
Did Brett?
Kenny Britt.
These are all good guesses.
No, Kenny never. Did he have over 1,000?
These are all good guesses. That's why I'm throwing this out there. I have done the research. I would have had the same line of thinking you guys did without looking it up.
The last receiver
to have 1,100.
Was it a receiver?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But it's a good line of thought because there is another to consider.
Is somebody else?
So do you have an answer? Derek's answer is Derek Mason.
I will say,
has anybody cracked 1,100 since Derek Mason?
Oh, since me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought that's you said what I'm asking. A Titan receiver. Oh, since me. No.
You're
There's
saying
no.
That's my question.
No,
unless it was Delaney Walker, that was it. And
okay,
was
that's a good guess.
He said it was
that's
a receiver, guess. Though.
It's a good guess.
He already said it was a receiver.
But it is not Delaney Walker. Delaney Walker had, in his best year, 1,088 yards in 2015.
I'm going to go
for a
3-13.
Justin Gage.
I'm going to go with no.
Justin Gage did lead the Titans in receiving yards two straight years.
Yeah, what was it, about 700 yards?
You're in the ballpark.
Yeah. It wasn't 1,100. I'm going to say no.
The
I
answer,
feel like we would remember that.
The answer is Drew Bennett in 2004. 1,247 yards.
Before you.
But he and I were in the same year. That was my last year.
Right.
So
okay.
Anybody
so they,
after that,
technically
yeah,
you're right.
I knew Drew had.
That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah,
I knew that
Drew
too.
Had
but I was
yeah.
putting
but
that
I
in category. Right. Yeah. Is that's not after you?
Yeah, that's not after me. That was with me.
That was with you.
Uh-huh.
Derek had 1,303 in 2003, which was a strong Titans team. Of course, as a lot of you remember, in 2004, Drew had 1,247. You were right behind him. I don't have yours.
I think I had 11 something.
Okay. Now, since then, from 2005 through 2021, how many years has the Titans' leading receiver had less than 1,000 yards?
A lot.
A lot. I don't know. Okay. What's that?
Okay, let's count up the seasons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
that's 17 years. Is it 17 years?
17 years. How many years has the Titans' leading receiver in the last 17 years had less than 1,000 yards?
That's a lot.
Out of the 17, I'll say 14.
Probably embarrassing.
Say 14, less than 1,000 yards. 14 out of the 17 years.
I will go 12 of 17.
I say 14. Well, AJ had two.
AJ had two.
Nate had one. Kendall had one.
That's correct. Delaney Walker
Delaney
had one.
So that's five. So, yeah, it had to be 12 years.
You guys are right. 12 out of 17 years. 12 times in the modern NFL, which is what we're talking about here, the leading receiver has had less than 1,000 yards.
That is awful. That is god-awful. That's awful. That is awful.
No, it just shows you how much they run the ball, the philosophy, and they just have not been able to compile a good stable of wide receivers. So you had A.J. Brown twice. Have 1,000. You guys hit on the ones that did get over 1,000. Nate Washington had the 1 year. Kenny Britt was mentioned. He did lead them in receiving twice. Remember,
but he never had over 1,000 yards.
775 and 701. And of course, in there somewhere, he tore up his knee. I think he would have had it 1 year.
But he messed up his knee.
Justin Gage in the real run-oriented teams of 07 and 08. We're talking about really defense and run the ball. Uh-huh. That was Thunder and Lightning. That was Lindell White, Vince Young. They didn't have much of a passing attack, but they went 23-9 in those 2 years. But Justin Gage, he led them with 750, and he led them with 651.
Yep.
When they were 13-3, he led them in receiving yards with 651 yards.
That is
crazy. Kendall Wright had 10. He had 1,079 in the 1 year. They were 7-9. They weren't a great team.
And he
team.
Had like 90 catches.
He had a lot of catches, a lot of short catches. There was a lot of wide receiver screens. It was not the most efficient, but he did get over 1,000. Delaney Walker had the 1 year. He led them in receiving yards three different times, but only once was it over 1,000. And then the other random one, Rashard Matthews, 945.
Yes.
In 2016. Had a pretty decent year.
He did.
That was another heavy running team. That was the year Lamont Murray. Who am I thinking?
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray. Lamont Murray's a basketball player. What am I thinking? DeMarco Murray. And that was, I think, Derrick Henry's rookie year. That was the year that Malarkey got him to the playoffs.
First or second year.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, so what you're saying is basically,
this is not wide receiver U.
Yeah, they,
no.
Wide receiver is not a prime position for the Tennessee Titans.
But that illustrates
in today's game, though.
It needs to be.
That illuminates the dilemma of A.J. Brown and how hard it was to walk away, looking at the price tag, but understanding the history and trying to weigh that. It's a tough decision. We'll see what happens.
But I told you, the way the Titans value that position as opposed to some other teams valuing that position is totally different. If the Titans had Mahomes or Burrow, or
a prolific passer,
elite
Aaron
quarterback,
Rodgers,
then they would view that position different. Every elite quarterback has what? An elite wide receiver. Then you can name the elite quarterbacks with the exception of Aaron Rodgers now because he has got they shipped his away. But every elite quarterback has an elite wide receiver.
Yeah.
Well, consider him elite, then they figure, why do we need to put that much money into an elite wide receiver?
And it's not like you can't win without a great individual receiver. The Titans' best years have been years where, Kevin Dyson in 1999 led the team. They went to the Super Bowl. 600 and
as a rookie.
It's crazy.
Second year.
No, that was his second year.
Second year, 658. Jeez. You guys went, you know, came so close
different
to winning the whole thing.
That's different era.
But that was that was a different era. You cannot in this era, because I was on yesterday in the Baltimore market, and they were talking about Lamar Jackson and him not having Hollywood Brown no more, and can they, you know, how far can they go without a guy? I said, listen, they can win in the regular season without having a top-notch receiver or one guy you can throw it to, which is Andrews. I said, but once they get in the playoffs, they need someone else. That's just the way it is. Every team that is one-dimensional, it's hard for them to win in the playoffs. It just is. If you look at what Baltimore did, they were throwing it to Andrews. They got put out. The teams, when they don't have something else to go to, they got put out of playoffs. They got put out when they just had a run-dominated team and they couldn't really throw the football. What did they do? Everybody piled up on Derrick Henry and forced you to throw the ball, and they couldn't do it. And then when they have the horses to do it on the outside, they don't have the quarterback that can do it. And in today's game, you have to have a guy that is able to change the complexity of the game via the pass. And it has to be more than a tight end, unless the tight end is the best in the league. Mm-hmm. But even with that, you need someone else to complement that tight end.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport at 11 o'clock to begin the second hour. I'm going to come back and ask you guys, with that being said, with today's game in football and in hockey, the Titans and the Predators have had certain styles basically since they've been here in Nashville. Is it time to change those styles? We'll talk about that to wrap up the first hour next. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. This is what I know coming up in about an hour, a little bit less than. George Thorogood tickets and the Destroyers at the Ryman. It's coming up, so you'll need to get involved. Just tell us what you know coming up here shortly. So it's kind of alarming when you hear that. And a lot of people are reacting on our text line like, 12 out of 17 years? Yikes. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, some people have said, well, why didn't we just, let's see, Jonathan in East Nashville, why didn't we just give AJ what he wanted then? If 12 out of 17 years have looked like that, well, I also don't think throwing $25 million a year and $100 million is the answer to a guy that hasn't done it yet. And, again, that's what my whole problem with A.J. Brown. Like, I don't have a problem with him wanting to get paid, but it's, you know, like, at least do it first. I mean, when your top season's 700 yards and you're screaming to be paid like a top receiver in the league, sorry. I mean, that's not how it works. Like, how about you go do it first? So I don't think that's the answer. So that's alarming to hear that out loud. And I'm not surprised at all by it. I mean, we've been covering the team since day one.
Right.
So not surprised. So the Predators have had basically this formula of being really good at drafting guys on the back end, right? They have had the luxury of top-notch defensemen and top-notch goalies most of their existence since they've been in Nashville. They've had troubles up front, okay, with the forwards. The Titans, since they've been here, as we've just laid out, it's been a formula of defense and running the football. And we always hear defense wins championships. It doesn't just mean in football. It could mean in hockey. But here's the difference. The games have changed. We've talked about it all season. Hockey has been nothing but what? Scoring. It's all been about goals. That's this whole season. The way this season played out, scoring is way up. Football, scoring is up because of the rules. So scoring is up. Offenses, defenses, it's challenging to really slow teams down. So with that being said, if it's all about offense, offense, and offense, and they say, you know, we used to always trick stick the long ball, well, I think it's fair to say right now in hockey and football, they're saying, people dig, fans dig offense. Fans dig scoring. So at what point do you think, with that being said, is it maybe time for a philosophy change? If it's all about scoring and it's all about offense, and we're sitting here talking about two franchises that have been more about in football, running, and defense, mm-hmm. and the hockey team, more about defense, things on the back end. Is it time for a philosophy change?
It's a great question. What is the philosophy, though? I think, for example, we were just talking about this. How about the irony of the team that did dive in and jump in and say, we want A.J. Brown. We'll pay him the money. It's the Eagles. Why? I guess they're desperate for that number one wide receiver. But the Eagles, we just went over their Super Bowl winning team of 2017.
It's 5 years
they
ago.
They won the Super Bowl
won
5 years ago. That would be the modern football era, mm-hmm. right? They beat Tom Brady. They did not have a single 1,000-yard receiver, nor did they have a 1,000-yard running back.
That might
have
been the first time in history. At least in the last 15 years.
Should have been more made. I feel like there should have been more made of that. That's a pretty amazing stat.
Yeah.
But it's that team.
That's the team that said, I got to have A.J. Brown. I'm giving you a first and a third for A.J. because we desperately need the number one wide receiver. But they have just won the Super Bowl in the last 5 years with the following skilled players.
Listen to this.
Right,
these
are their top.
Mind-blowing.
Because I'm guaranteeing you, unless you're from Philly and you watch them, and Teron would know the answer because he covered this team. But if you're out there, I'll bet you that right off the top of your head, you're going to have trouble recalling any of these guys from that team.
I mean,
and it wasn't that long ago. I'm like this. I pride myself on questions like this. I had forgotten.
I got so desperate with this question. I was like, Ricky Waters? Brian Westbrook?
Harold Carmichael?
Brian Mitchell? Like, what? Like, I'm desperate. Like, who? What is
Ricky
the answer to this?
All right, so Derek immediately came up with Zach Ertz, and that's mm-hmm. a good one. He had 824 yards. That led them in receiving.
Their tight end.
Yes.
Their leading running back was LeGarrette Blount, the well-traveled, played on a gazillion teams and started with the Titans. He had 766 yards that led them in rushing.
Leading rusher.
Two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Nelson Aguilar. What is he best known for? The guy who drops passes. He's the butt of jokes. Remember the guy in the fireman?
He, too, is
that
also.
That caught the baby, yeah. and he said, I didn't want to pull a Nelson yeah. Aguilar and drop
yes.
the baby.
Well, he, too, has been well-traveled
yes.
in his career.
Alshon Jeffrey, nice receiver, 789 yards.
His better days were in Chicago.
Underachiever, I think.
His better days were in Chicago.
Torrey Smith.
A lot of hype, overhyped.
Torrey Smith, just, you know, solid, decent guy.
He's a journeyman again.
Trey Burton. And now that's pretty much it. They won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And not to mention their backup quarterback had to come in, Nick Foles, and get hot. But you can win by committee. It's rare. But I just think that's a fascinating case study there.
Yeah, it's a far and few between. When you're winning in that fashion, that means your defense has to be opportunistic. They got to get a lot of turnovers. They got to score with those turnovers, and you must have a short field. You have to if you're going to win in that fashion because, I mean, I can tell you within the last 15, 20 years, there's not many teams that won the Super Bowl with those type of numbers from skilled guys that Philadelphia put up.
Although I will say, but see, here is the other part that you're not even – and they did it without the elite quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's when you go back and you think about that Eagles – how did
13
you do
and
that?
3. It's not like they were 9-7 and got hot.
You
they
did it with a journeyman quarterback, journeyman running backs, journeyman receivers. I mean, Zach Ertz has been a very solid –
you have some journey shoes.
How did you do that? You could say a lot of those New England championships, if we went back and looked at, they didn't have a top flight mm-hmm. receiver. They were just kind of committee thing.
Yeah.
Running back, same thing. Carousel, committee. But they had Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And Bill Belichick.
So they had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and so you're able to overcome.
And
Philadelphia has their coach has been fired since then. He's uh-huh. now in the division of the Titans, so he's been fired since that Super Bowl. They had journeyman running backs, journeyman receivers, a journeyman quarterback who's been mostly a backup, and they won a Super Bowl. I don't even know how that happened.
And so that's what makes you question any philosophy, getting back to your question.
Yeah.
Like, what is the philosophy? There are different ways to win. Chasing the franchise quarterback, that's hard to do. It's hard to find that guy. So if you don't have him, which is what usually 20 to 25 teams on a given year are in that situation, how do you best win? You know, the Titans have at least, they've got different general managers, different coaches. So it is a little bit of happenstance that it's the running and the defense that ends up being the prevailing philosophy.
You know who covered that team? Our next guest.
Yep.
We can ask him
about
it.
We can ask him about that team.
I wonder if he, I'm sure he does. He covered
that. Oh, he can nail it, I think.
Gosh, that's, you know, hopefully he wasn't listening so we could literally surprise him with that question. We'll start the second hour with TD. We do that next.